Well, if watching the Olympics every 2 years just isn't enough for you, we have a few book recommendations that might tide you over. I'm Jill Nadeau, and this is The Larry Mueller Show. With us is Deerfield Public Library Director and huge Olympic fan, Leah Fritchie. And she has a list of Olympic-related books to share with us. Do you have a favorite book about the Olympics? Maybe something you read when you were a kid? Well, join in by calling 800-642-1234 or send an email to WPR.org. Hey, Leah, thanks for joining us.
I am so excited to be here today, so thank you.
Well, you're welcome, and as excited as watching table tennis competition on a beautiful summer weekend. You just love the Olympics, don't you?
I do. I have been a huge fan of the Olympics. I will admit Winter Olympics are actually more of a favorite than summer, but I have been watching the Olympics since I was a little girl, and I remember being excited every time it came around, and it never came around soon enough.
Well, hence we've got some books, right?
Yes.
What was your criteria making this list for us?
Well, first of all, I want to make clear that the books I chose for this list are adult books. There are many, many titles for children that are out there that are fantastic, fiction and nonfiction, all about the different types of Olympics and sports. So kids are really easy to find books for about the Olympics. Adults, not so much. So my criteria was to try to find interesting, good reads that would be maybe a backstory to the Olympics or statistics about the Olympics or, you know, specifically Wisconsin folks that are in the Olympics. So I tried to find a variety of different things that kind of fit that all, that were not too technical or too statistic focused, but definitely a good read.
Excellent. Well, let's start out with the first one, which is very appropriate since we talked about rowing earlier on the show. And that's The Boys in the Boat by Daniel James Brown. What's that all about?
So this is actually a really popular book. When this came out, people got really excited because the author, Daniel James Brown, wrote it in such a way that it is very, it's nonfiction, but it's told like a story. There's lots of storytelling in this book. And this book is special because it talks about how kind of crew got its foothold in the Olympics. And this also happened to occur in the 1936, what people call the Hitler Olympics, because it was in Germany at the beginning of Hitler's rule. And so it's kind of interesting because this book is not just about the 8-man crew team and how they got to get the team together and were able to participate in the Olympics, but also talks about the, I guess, the boat or the craft builder and how important the craft is to the sport as a whole besides just the rower. So this, and it goes from beginning to end, how these guys met in college and how they were brought together to be a crew team and their fight to place so that they could be invited to the Olympics and then compete in the Olympics and what it was like being in Germany under Hitler's eye during 1936. And so there's just a really strong story to this by telling each of the rowers' stories and the craft builders' story as well.
That sounds like it would appeal to a lot of different people, too, on different levels.
Yes. Yeah, I think that's what makes it an interesting book and why so many people have been drawn to it.
Great. Okay, let's go on now. We probably don't talk about the Paralympics a lot, which this year starts on August 24th, but you've got a book about it. Tell us about that one.
Yeah, and I discovered this one, and I got really excited because we don't talk about the Paralympics very much, and I haven't personally watched a lot of them because I don't think they get as much coverage as regular Olympics. But this one is about a Russian swimmer who, she was born in Siberia, and she ended up being adopted from a Russian orphanage when she was just a little over a year old, brought to the United States, and she I think she's missing both of her legs. And so she went into swimming and she managed to get herself to the level where she's a world champion and an Olympic competitor in the Paralympics, which is just really exciting. The book isn't, I would say it's not really meaty. There's a lot of pictures. There's a lot of quotes. There's a lot of little snippets from her life, little sidebars. So I would say it's a lighter, maybe more interesting read just because it's, like I said, it's not meaty, but it's definitely interesting.
Yeah, for sure. So what's next on your list?
I would like to mention next the one that is Wisconsin-centered. So the Wisconsin Historical Society Press did put out a fantastic book called Going for Wisconsin Gold, and it's all about any of our state champions who have made it to the Olympics. And I really love this book, the way it was put together. So they split it up by each competitor or sportsman, and they start with, you know, as far back in time, I believe 1904 is the earliest that we had Wisconsin competitors, and it goes through moving forward in time, and then it talks about each person, their sport, the history of them, what they won, what they're doing now. So obviously it stopped after they published it, so some of the newest Olympics folks aren't in here, but it's a really great read if you want to see the Olympic connection to Wisconsin, because it's a sizable book. I was actually surprised because there's a lot of people from Wisconsin in the end who have competed. And it's all kinds of different sports, too. It's not just one thing. Like, they're not all speed skaters. There's runners and swimmers and gymnasts. So it's really neat. It's kind of neat to see who came from Wisconsin, who's made it to the national or international stage, I should say.
Yeah, definitely. And that's written by Jessie Garcia. And we had her on when that book came out. So if someone wants to listen to that interview with her, they can go back in archives. In fact, when I get a chance, I will put a link to it on our program note so people can listen to that. So yeah, excellent, excellent book. Such fun too. And you were talking about before a meaty book. How about a hefty book? The Games, A Global History of the Olympics by David Goldblatt. That's like over 600 pages.
I have it sitting right in front of me, actually. In fact, I'm looking at it. But, you know, what really makes this book kind of neat is if you kind of want to get nerdy on the Olympics and learn about how it gets decided for which country, which city, what the International Olympic Committee is like, how it operates, some of the controversies that have come up, how some of the games have played out, you know, obviously, like, everything that happened in 1972 with the hostage situation and obviously Berlin in 1936 and things, it really covers, they call it from the beginning of the modern Olympics, so Athens in 1896. So they kind of take you through the behind the scenes along with some of the, you know, highlights and really amazing moments for both summer and winter Olympics, which I really appreciate. Probably why it's quite so large, because
yes,
they have
lot.
To cover all that territory. So I really appreciated this book because it gives you a really interesting look at behind the scenes if you care to know about it, and kind of lays out, you know, the political situation of the country, who got picked at the time, and how it interacted with the International Olympic Committee. And so it's got kind of some of those like tidbits there that normally you wouldn't know about, or if you're just in it to watch the Olympics, you don't even care because you're all about the sport you're watching at the time. So.
Sure. Great. Now, another one on the list is certainly timely. Talk about The End of the Perfect 10.
Yeah, this book came out and it really focuses obviously on gymnastics, and it kind of talks about how it was really easy for a while for really good gymnasts to be getting these perfect 10s, and the committee wanted to figure out a way to break out of that because it was really hard. They was getting perfect scores. So they decided to change the scoring scale, and of course this caused a ripple through all of the gymnastics world, and there's controversy and discussion on both sides, and was this going to work, and this switch wasn't going to make it fair for anybody, or it was going to make it more fair. So it's a really interesting look at how gymnastics has been scored, how it has changed who participates because of the change in scoring. So one of the things they point out is that older Olympians now feel more comfortable competing in gymnastics, and I think we've seen that. You notice that there are competitors who are a lot older. They're not all 12, 13, 14 years old anymore.
Right.
We've got some competitors who are close to their 30s for gymnastics, which is quote unquote old. And I think that's really great. And they attribute some of that to how they changed the scoring system. So this book kind of talks about, besides the scoring system and stuff, it does, you know, do its nerdy Olympic thing and talk about highlights of some of the best gymnasts that have ever performed and, you know, a little bit of the stories about them, which is, you know, what people want to. So that's always kind of nice to mix that in.
Oh, definitely. I was a little surprised to see a novel on the list. Why did you decide to add it?
Well, okay. So first of all, it's not like there is a ton of books out there that are fictional accounts of the Olympics. So when I came across this one, I was really intrigued because I was like, oh, and it was highlighted in several different places. It's called Don't Tell Me You're Afraid, and it's by Giuseppe Catazzella, and it is about a runner in Somalia and how she trains and gets herself to the Beijing Olympics in 2008. So don't forget, this is fiction. This didn't actually happen.
Right.
But it covers how Somalia is a war-torn country with lots of political unrest and kind of a dangerous place to live sometimes, and that it was really hard to not only become one of the only runners from her country, but to kind of get over being able to get out of the country, get to the games, get a sponsorship, get a trainer. And so this story kind of covers her journey to actually attending two different Olympics. So it's fiction with a really great story on what happens for a lot of Olympians, I think, that come from places like that. But it puts it in a fictional context. So it's definitely a story to enjoy if you want to, imagine some of your favorite Olympic runners, if you have any from different countries, put them in your mind when you're reading this. And it kind of gets into the heart of, why people compete, what drives them, what is their story like, their day-to-day life and the place they come from and how do they train, but not in a, boring statistical way.
Right. So. Well, it sounds really good because I did read the synopsis and it sounds like it would be an excellent read. So
Yeah. And I thought, why not throw a fiction book in there? So it's not all, all the facts about
right.
the Olympics all the time.
We're talking with Leah Fritchie. She's the director of the Deerfield Public Library. Do you have a favorite book about an Olympian or one that you remember reading as a child or just even recently? Well, we'd like to hear about it. Give us a call. 1-800-642-1234. And, of course, you can send us an email, and that's ideas@WPR.org. And speaking of books as a child, I remember when I was quite young reading a book in the library about Wilma Rudolph and the Olympics, and it just stuck in my head to this day. And so it makes a big impact on kids, doesn't it, reading about
yes.
things like that?
Yes, and there's a reason that sports books are popular with kids because it gives them role models to look up to, and they get to read about what they do to get into their sport and how they have to train, and it's very inspiring. And I think Olympics just fits right into that, and it's kind of even more specialized because you have all of these sports that people do in real life, like skateboarding or skiing or skating or whatever, or swimming, and kind of shows you that you can be quite the athlete. It's not just the football players and the basketball players. So
very, very
of,
true.
Mm-hmm. It's neat.
Yeah. Now, another suggestion on your list that I probably would appeal to kids, I don't know if that would actually be written for them, obviously not, but it's the Total Olympics, every obscure, hilarious, dramatic, and inspiring tale worth knowing. It sounds like something you can just pick up, turn to a certain page, and enjoy yourself.
Yeah, this is one of those books that's actually pretty hilarious because he tried to find every obscure fact that he could or hilarious bungle that are in some way connected to the Olympics. So one of my favorites is that he does talk about the long discontinued Olympic sports like tug of war or pigeon shooting or painting. Who knows that Picasso, he could have gone for the gold if he was competing,
Darn.
That
was that's one that I could have actually competed in.
right? So I think it's really funny because he talks about all kinds of things, one of the gymnasts that fought through the pain of a broken knee that he broke while he was competing, which is, not funny, but it's kind of, wow, that's kind of an amazing fact. I wonder how many people know that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of interesting. He throws all these things together, and it is the kind of book that basically you can kind of open it wherever. You don't have to read it from cover to cover.
Yeah.
You can kind of pick what looks interesting and throw it open and take a look.
Okay. And can a kid read it, or is it a little too complicated for that?
Older children.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of text in there. So I would definitely say, kids who are fans of the Guinness World Record book would
uh-huh.
probably enjoy this too.
Okay. And the author on that was Jeremy Fuchs. Is that right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay. Let's see. Another one we didn't talk about yet is the Spectacular Leap. That looks like a good one too.
Yes. And it kind of highlights a history that isn't, I wouldn't say hidden, but it's not something that I think a lot of people are aware of. So this is A Spectacular Leap, Black Women Athletes in the 20th Century America by Jennifer H. Lansbury. And there has been quite a lot written about Black men athletes, obviously with someone like Jesse Owens and people starting to run in the 1920s and 30s, and people knew about that. But women didn't actually get to participate until 1940s for the first national championships for running and such. And so they had to play catch up with everybody else competing. And so they just aren't as well known. Now, I wouldn't say that today. Definitely we know a lot of competitors for a lot of sports, running and gymnastics and stuff, that come from the Black community. And so this book, I think, was really important, and I wanted to make sure that I mentioned it, because I feel like that's a history that should not be forgotten, and it should be just as important and just as well known as any other, you know, history of the Olympics, which is that not only did they weren't allowed to come in until later, but they had to fight against so much discrimination. They had to get through the civil rights movement and just, you know, to find their place in the Olympics. It was a struggle. So we need to note that. We need to celebrate that they've come as far as they have as athletes. And so I think a book like this is great. And it specifically looks at the stories of six athletes. And some of these names will be familiar. Alice Coachman, Ora Washington, Althea Gibson, Wilma Rudolph, Wyoma Tyrus, and Jackie Joyner Kersee, who is kind of like more recent.
Contemporary, sure.
Yep, yep. Mm-hmm. So I think this is definitely one of those books that if you would like to celebrate women, you know, of color and how they have fought their way into participating too, this would be a good one. Plus, you know, the stories of the women are interesting. Just it's always interesting to hear how athletes get where they are today. You know, where did they come from? What's their story?
Yeah, I think that's part of people liking to watch the Olympics, isn't it? The stories behind each of the athletes.
Mm-hmm. And how far they've come. Like,
yeah.
What did they have to fight through to get there? Or, you know, their love of the sport too, seeing all of that together. The blood, sweat, and tears.
Definitely, definitely. Now, I think we've got one more left. The Life at 10 Meters by Laura Wilkinson. again, a little bit more on a timely subject here.
Well, and this one's brand new.
Mm-hmm.
So I was not even able to get my hands on this one yet. So I'm mentioning it so people can check it out, because I think it's paperback or Kindle version only. So it's a little bit harder to get your hands on. But this is written by the Olympic gold medalist Laura Wilkinson. And it tells her story of being, you know, an Olympic swimmer, Olympic diver. But it also talks about just being a person and, you know, how do you get there and how hard this is, but what she learned about being an Olympic athlete translated into how she kind of, you know, moves through life with being a mom and, you know, running a business and writing a book. You know, how did all that translate from what she learned from being an Olympian into, you know, being a regular person? And how can other people take those lessons? Obviously not to the extreme of being an Olympic competitor is, but how can you take that and like apply that to your own life to be successful?
And there were some mental things going on in that too, I believe, if I read that correctly. That she was struggling with some things when she was competing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I without having, you know, the book in my hand and having read it, I specifically don't know, but I think there was some tragedy in her background,
mm-hmm.
and I think that some of it came up at the time of competition, and so she had to struggle through that along with, you know, the mental struggle of competing and, you know, competing inside your own head and getting that done. So I think that's also a piece of it too, is like the mental struggle and the mental strength part of that book too.
Now, do you find that the books about the Olympics become a little more popular in Olympic years?
Yeah, I think so. I think you notice some of them getting published or republished definitely in an Olympic year. And or just before the year before.
Mm-hmm.
So people are interested. As far as, you know, requests, yeah, I, you know, because I work in the library system and I can see the catalog, yes, definitely a lot of these books, they're all checked out or they're on hold. So people are definitely looking at them right now for this summer. So that's not a surprise. I know libraries also have done displays to make sure that people know that there are books available, depending on summer or winter.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, pushing that out so people know that there are books that, you know, are just a part of the Olympic story that you can, you know, read while the Olympics are going on or afterwards because you are interested.
So. Absolutely. So is your library open to the public now?
Yes, we are. We've been open since the end of April, so people can come in and browse and check stuff out and use us as much as they need.
And some of these books that we talked about, a local library may not have, but there are ways of getting them to your local library, right?
Yes. So a lot of the books that I have sitting in front of me are actually not Deerfield's copy. Only one is. And so the rest were requested from other libraries in the system. And that is exactly what people can do. If you have your library card, you can just go on to the library card catalog and request it or call your library, stop in and ask for somebody to request a hold for you to get these books. And then if it's one of the books that isn't in the system, in the library system, please put in a request for purchase.
Ah.
And let your library know that they should perhaps have this added to their collection.
Because you listen, right?
Yeah, we do. Actually, you know, patron suggestions is how we get some of our best titles. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes a whole lot of sense. So, Leah, thank you so much for being with us today and for getting this list together. I know I kind of gave you short notice, so I really appreciate you doing that.
Of course. It's what I love to do.
That's why you're a librarian, we know.
That's right.
All right. Thank you. We've been talking with Leah Fritchie. She's the director of the Deerfield Public Library. In case you missed some of those titles, we'll have that list up on our program note later today. Scott Craven is going to be on the show tomorrow, and we're going to talk a little bit about how local weather and even weather conditions out west are impacting Wisconsin animals. And we'll also preview the upcoming fall hunting season and learn about some volunteer opportunities. And that's tomorrow on the show on the Ideas Network. In the meantime, check out our blog. We've got lots of great topics there. And you can go to that by going to WPR.org/Larry. You'll learn a little bit more about some of the things that we talked about on the show. I'm Jill Nadeau. I'm sitting in for Larry Mueller this week. Stay well. We'll